Late episode this week. Apologies ahead of time. We're talking Penguin. It has been on the rage lately. I've been seeing it everywhere. I've watched it. It is great. I want to talk about it. It's a solo week. It's just me. It's just you. All right, let's go. Cue the music. Hello, and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash, Kutchins, Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up. Welcome, thank you for listening. We're talking Penguin today. And I have a lot of personal references to Penguin, because this show, I'll be honest, I didn't really care, like, not that I didn't really care for the show, but Penguin and Agatha came out at the same time. And I'll be, again, completely honest, I preferred Agatha from a week-to-week standpoint. I was more excited to watch Agatha. I could not miss watching Agatha all along, whereas I could miss watching the Penguin. And I was actually okay missing the last 3 weeks. It took me the last three episodes. I didn't watch until the last episode was out. So I watched 6, 7, and 8. And I'll be honest, I'm happy I did that. Because watching those last three episodes all in one chunk, whew, it was a ride. So I'm going to say this. Agatha all along was the more entertaining show. It was the better show week to week. But it's been about over a week now since Penguin came out. And I'll say this. The Penguin's been way more on my mind than Agatha. The Penguin has so much more of a message. And I think at the end of the day, many, many years from now, when we look back and we think about the Penguin and we think about Agatha all along, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to remember a lot more about the Penguin than I did Agatha. That being said, I still think Agatha was a better show from a week-to-week standpoint. All right, let's get into some of the stuff, the intro stuff, and then we'll talk more about my thoughts on the Penguin. What have you been nerding out on lately? Of course, it's a solo episode, so it is just me and my nerding out. And I'll be honest, my nerding out hasn't really changed this week in comparison to last week. I have like one major change. I've been watching a lot of One Piece, as of always. I feel like I always have to put One Piece on the what are you nerding out on. And I can say, we just did an episode last week. We did Wano, and that was about 1040. We have finished up. I think we're around 1070, 1080 now. I have seen Gear 5 Luffy, my friends, and my God, I don't know how I feel about it. It was great. The animation was wonderful. But it is different. And it is a very modern... It's like a modern cartoon with like modern, highly advanced animation plus cartoon effects, and it visually looks amazing. I still have to, like, we have to learn more about it. We have to learn more about Gear 5 and why Luffy is the way he is, and the whole lore behind it. And I'm sure that, like, even those who are caught up, that story isn't fully written yet. And there is still a lot more to learn about it. I don't know how I feel about it with the little information that I have learned so far. I don't know how I feel about it. But yes, One Piece, Wano, it is a treat. And I am excited because I just want to keep watching more and more One Piece, more and more episodes. But the more I watch it, the more I realize I'm catching up. And eventually, when we do catch up, then we're going to have to wait, whatever that is, the 5 months, it is a 6 month hiatus. We were going to have to wait the 4 months, but then it's going to be week to week. And I don't know how I feel about that. So, but it's great. Another thing I've been playing a lot while watching One Piece, Stardew Valley. It is just such a fun game. If you guys haven't played it and you're just looking for something to do while watching TV or to do while you do like watching other things, Stardew Valley is, if you haven't played it yet, it is worth it. I think it's like $20. Maybe it's less than that. It's worth it. You're going to get so much time in that game. It's just fun. It's more or less a farming simulator, but it's more than that. There's much more to it. But I love just the freedom that it is. It's just, yeah, 4 months in a year. Each day is about 10, 20 minutes. You play through the day. And you just take care of business. And for someone who has ADHD, I could do all the, I have all the energy to do everything, all the chores, all the farming that I can do in that game that I can definitely not do in real life. And I don't know why, it's just a fun thing to play. So yeah, Stardew Valley is something I've been nerding out on lately. Now this isn't really a nerding out, but more or less, I played my first D&D campaign. Where I DM'd my first D&D campaign, my first session zero. And it was interesting because it did not go the way I thought. And I think that's what most people think. Right? But I anticipated there to be shenanigans. I anticipated the party that I had to do a lot of crazy things. And some of them did. But the way I had it set up was, we're going to do kind of session zero, a lot of new players, go over rules, go over boundaries. Like, boundaries meaning, like, we're not going to go too much into the violence. We're not going to get in, no, like, sexual violence. Just the boundaries of the imagination. What's on limits, what's off limits, what to do when someone's uncomfortable, stuff like that. But after that, very simple, once we get like the actual game going, simple role-playing section. The premise is everyone was invited to a wedding, everyone's part of this small town, and some of the people who got invited probably shouldn't have got invited to this wedding. Not everything is what it seems, and there seems to be a lot of weird things that is happening around the town. And weirdly enough, at this party, the whole party gets invited on a hunt, and the party isn't like... they're not hunters. Like, they're not the ones that you'd be invited on the hunt. The person invites them, and things go wrong. Now, the hunting is part of the wedding party. So we did a role play, we did a skills challenge, and then we did a combat scene. And the role playing aspect took about an hour or two to do. And I think my flaw... when I DM'd this campaign, I wasn't intentional enough with the role-playing. Because I was expecting a lot of shenanigans. I was expecting the people to kind of go out and do their own thing. And they did. But it was fairly contained. I think Tom, he's a part of it. Moser's a part of it. Brian, if you remember from the one random episode where I had Brian and my wife was in it, she's been in a few episodes, and a couple of Brian's fiance and Moses' fiance was also in it. Fun group. They were like, I was expecting them to kind of run with it and like the story would kind of reveal itself. It didn't reveal itself the way I thought it was, and I didn't have enough planned. So the role playing was kind of boring. And it got to the point where once I realized it was boring, it was too late. It was already boring for some. So realized that I need to be more intentional with my role playing. But as we got through it and we got the actual like skills challenge going, and then we got the combat going, a lot different. I think the one thing that threw me off though was somebody suggested a murdering the NPC, and this NPC maybe deserved it. Made him kind of hateable in the fact that he's a Nepo baby, he's getting married, doesn't care about the marriage, and flirts with pretty much every girl that's in his vicinity. And played him off as this, like, Nepo baby who has no skills and kind of flings his sword around like a wannabe, like, adventurer. And that was kind of his whole premise. And we were in the woods together, this NPC with, we have like 6 players, might have 7, it's a lot. And one of my players is like, what's murder Parker? He's a shit person. And I'm just like, whoa. And like internally, I'm just like, wait a second. Don't murder him. I don't know how I'm going to give you a quest. Like, he's the quest giver. And so that was an interesting DMing thing. How, not that I wanted to like them not to kill them, but I'm like, how am I going to deal with them? One, I have plans for this NPC. Like, I am writing plans. I wanted them to be somewhat hateable. Not to the point where they were going to murder him outright. Didn't think the party would go to murder right away. But they did. He's still alive. Very much. Happily alive. But yeah. D&D session was great. A lot of fun. I'm going to take the opportunity to learn. And I'll kind of keep you guys updates. Enough about that. Let's get into the news.
It's time for a news quickie. Oh, yeah.
All right, news time. Not a whole lot this week. I think the biggest one, and this is the one I'm super excited about, and if the world doesn't go to shit or end, I'm going to enjoy Season 3 of Don't Evolve Me, because Season 3 starts off freaking hot. The news that I have to break, and it's not necessarily breaking news, but The Last of Us Part 2, or Last of Us Season 2, comes out spring 2025. And I don't know if it's early spring, I don't know if it's late spring, it just says spring 2025. And my God, if this is true... And I'm hoping like April. That's what I'm hoping for. Actually, I don't even know if I'm hoping for April, because I know something comes out on my birthday. Something that I'm going to watch. I completely forgot what it was, though. Invincible comes out in February. Season 3. Freaking love that show. Daredevil, Born Again. I'm becoming a huge Daredevil friend. I am watching the first season with Brandon. That might be our state of review, our welcome back episode. And so now we have Invincible, Daredevil, and The Last of Us Part 2. That is a really good lineup for me. That is like, I am excited. Again, as long as the world doesn't go to shit, which is something that might happen. As I'm recording this, World War 3 might be started. There is already nuclear threats being thrown. I don't know. I'm hoping not, because there's a lot of interesting things happening in 2025, and I don't want it to be rude, but of course, peacetime might be over. Enough of that. Other news. James Gunn says a lot, and I really, really thank him for it, because there's always something to say about the DCU, which hasn't started yet, but it's going to be starting soon. James Gunn recently talked, I'm assuming this was an interview, about his latest DCU. One, Alan Tudyk is playing Clayface. He plays Clayface already in Harley Quinn. He's going to be playing Clayface in Creatures Commando. And here's the thing. If you play a character, if you voice a character, James Gunn has said, you will also play that character live. Meaning, Alan Tudyk might be also playing Clayface in the movies. Meaning, we might get an Alan Tudyk Clayface character in Brave and the Bold or Superman or other projects. And that's exciting. Clayface deserves that live-action adaptation because he's a good character. And he straight up can be a really good character for Batman. And for those who've read the comics or those who haven't read the comics, Clayface at one point has become a good guy. At one point was working with the Bat family, was a member of the Bat family. And that is, and it seems like the Bat family is going to be more of what the DCU will be doing. So that's an exciting addition if that's the case. Because that means Alan Tudyk is going to be more often not a big character. Especially for this version of Batman. Alright, other news. James Gunn has talked about Peacemaker. Season 2 is coming out next year, I believe. I believe after Superman. And he's talking about how Peacemaker, Season 1, most of season one will be canon. Now, previously said before, Peacemaker was in the DCEU, and the big connecting piece for it being in the DCEU was the Justice League scene where Peacemaker is walking away and the Justice League shows up, and then he's just like, there you assholes are, I've been waiting for you, and then they walk off. That's the only scene that won't be canon, and apparently season two will be explaining that off. I don't know how they're going to make this canon, and honestly, Peacemaker season two being a thing is just weird. And I don't know, does this mean Suicide Squad is also canon? There's a lot of questions with it being canon. But hopefully they can explain it. I don't know. It's a good show. And if it wasn't good, I probably wouldn't allow it and probably would shit talk it more. But it was a really good show, and I trust James Gunn to make this decision right. Last little bit. Green Lantern. James Gunn was talking about Green Lantern and how everybody was talking about how Kyle Chandler shouldn't be Hal Jordan. But he's talking about how the show, it's going to be worth it, how Kyle Chandler is going to be worth it, and how the show is going to be really grounded, really real, really human, and really, like, it's a really good story. And he was just talking about how it's going to be grounded and real, and it's, if it wasn't a good script to the show wouldn't be a thing. And I believe him when he says it. And I do. We will see. I hope for the best. I'm excited for James Gunn DCU to start this year, 2025. Let's go. All right, short break. Then we're getting into the Penguin. All right, quick correction before we get into the Penguin. Andor season 2 comes out on my birthday. I knew something came out. I knew something big. It's something that I was going to be excited about. Andor season 2 comes out April 22nd. My birthday. My 32nd birthday. Yeah, that's going to be a slate. Invincible. Daredevil Born Again. Last of Us Part 2 to Andor season 2. Yeah, my 2025 Don't Evolve Me season 3 is going to be booked for the first 4 months. And honestly, I love it. I'm excited for it. I don't know what to do when there's not really good TV shows to be talked about. Speaking of really good TV shows, Penguin. The Penguin. Let's talk about it. So my first thought of the Penguin when this show came out was that I was more or less excited because I enjoyed the Penguin from the Batman. I thought Colin Farrell's character was interesting. I thought it was... Obviously, he was small time, and obviously there was a huge hole. There's a huge void in Gotham. All right, Alberto Falcone died. Riddler killed him. So there obviously was room for growth, and there was a lot of room for growth for the Penguin. So then when they talked about this show being released, I was like, ooh, all right, that's exciting. Now, a bunch of time passed. James Gunn took over the DCU. We just talked about a bunch of James Gunn news that he announced, and it seems like he announced something every week. And the big news that dropped was that the Batman, Matt Reeves, the Batman, will not be part of DCU. And it would not be part of the larger universe, which at the end of the day makes sense, right? James Gunn has recently talked about it, and it wasn't like a choice. It wasn't like, hey, it wasn't my decision, right? I asked Matt Reeves. I gave Matt Reeves the choice, and he declined, and he said he wanted to make his own story. And I'll be honest, I'm for it, because there are Batman stories that are just Batman stories, and we've been mostly getting Batman stories that are just Batman stories. And some of the best, or most of the best Batman stories are just Batman stories based in Gotham with Batman dealing with Gotham problems. But of course, DCU Batman, he's going to be a larger deal, right? He's going to be more of the global Batman. And really, there's two different versions of Batman. There is the local Gotham Batman, the one that makes sense. And then there's the global Justice League Batman, which makes a little less sense in the framework of the Batman. So, with that news dropping, the Penguin kind of took a backseat a little bit. Because this means this universe, the Batman universe, shrunk. There is no room for growth. And I think a lot of people were just not that excited for the Penguin. Obviously, that changed. Everyone's talking about this show now. But the excitement for the Penguin was minimum. Now, the show comes out. And it comes at the same time as Agatha All Along. And I had high hopes because the writers for the Batman was so, like, it was so good. Like, it was a great, well-written movie. It's a really well-written film. And it's honestly, in my opinion, probably the best well-written Batman film. And yes, I say that over The Dark Knight. I don't think The Dark Knight is as well written as people would say. Like, I think the Batman's a lot better written story than The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight just had an elite performance by Heath Ledger and an elite performance by Christopher Nolan. Not performance, but directing skills. I think those two were elite that made that movie. And you can argue Dark Knight or Batman. I'm not in that argument. But I had high hopes for The Penguin just from a writing perspective. I thought it was going to be a really good show. And then I saw IGN, and I'll be honest, IGN for reviews have kind of sucked lately. Like, they don't match. They gave Penguin a 5. And I was really disappointed when I saw that, because I was like, ooh, Penguin a 5? Like, a 5? Really? Like, that's... They just made the show to make the show, if this is legit. And it was for the whole season, which was kind of surprising, but sometimes, you know, they let people have reviews early, and he gave it a 5. Looking back, after watching the whole season, I don't know I'm going to swear here. I don't know how the fuck you give that show a 5. Like, I think you're incompetent, and you completely missed the mark. You didn't even watch the show if you think it's a 5. There's no way you give The Penguin a 5. But I remember watching the first couple episodes. And it was... The first episode was freaking solid. Like, I was locked in. I'm like, this is a 4 plus 5 minus. Like, well written. Colin Farrell's Penguin is really well acted. Vic is a really interesting character. And honestly, just the way this character works and moves through the world was just fascinating to watch. And it really is a fascinating ride. But the thing is, I don't even think the Penguin... Well, it wasn't what made it fascinating. And what ended up making the story amazing to me, elite to me at the end, was the overall message that this show had. This show had a story to tell, and I didn't know what that story was until the very end of this show. And I'll be honest, it wasn't the most enjoyable experience. It was a really well-written show. I enjoyed a lot of different episodes, but I also ended up losing myself to a lot of the violence in the show. And when I say lost myself, more or less, I wasn't really interested in the gang war. This is a story that I've seen 1,000 times. And I'll be honest, the gang war story of the Penguin manipulating two sides to take it, it's not a new story. It really isn't. If you read, like, there is thousands of Batman stories. There is maybe 100 Batman, like, movies or TV shows. I think we might be at the 100. If you count episodes, we're definitely there already. I think the animated series alone did that. But, like, we have bunch of Batman media. Gotham itself, the TV show Gotham, the one where Batman wasn't even a part of it. Like, the whole idea of, like, the Falcones and the Maronis taking each other out while the Penguin, you know, puppet strings all of it. Like, it's not like they did that in that show as well. And so in the middle ground of the Penguin, I kind of got lost because I didn't really care. I've seen this before. I've read The Long Halloween, which this one loosely is based off of, very loosely. But the best parts about the show was honestly the background episodes. The episode Bliss with Vic is the best episode of the series. it wasn't even like this big pop episode. It was more or less just a really interesting episode that gives us this tension moment. Like, there's a running clock. Vic's girlfriend, like, he had the offer to leave. He can leave, get out of Gotham. He had that choice. And he doesn't make that choice. And there's a bunch of tension brewing. Hey, if Oz finds out about this, does he kill him? Right? Penguin finds out, does he kill Vic? Does Vic make the choice to stay or leave? Right? All while we have this running talk. And it's just a really, really well-written episode. And then the next episode, we get a Sophia flashback talking about her life, how she watched her mom get hanged and killed, how all these other women start happening, and then she gets blamed for it. And more or less, because she found that her father was doing this, she gets blamed. And she gets ended up getting sent to a mental asylum. I think it was Arkham, the one that she actually, I think she did get sent to Arkham. And because she gets into Arkham, then she starts becoming this ferocious, this more, she kind of loses herself in Arkham and then comes back. She's a really interesting character. But I think, like, what makes Penguin so memorable, and I think the mess is the message at the end. And the message is that the Penguin, Oswald, is a fucking monster. He is a villain worthy of being fought by the Batman. And I really love that message and how they got there. For me, this is, and they said this a lot in the finale, Oz is a narcissist. He's a narcissist. He's a narcissist. And that word gets thrown around a lot these days. Someone who advocates for mental health, that word gets thrown out a lot. But as someone who's been around a narcissist, who's dated a narcissist, I have dated a narcissist for 15 months. It's absolute hell. I do not recommend it. This show, once I realized what this show was, it clicked. This show is essentially a narcissist simulation. And it's a freaking well-written narcissist simulation. Because here's the thing. We start the show, right? Oz is doing his thing. He betrays Alberto, like, immediately. In a really interesting way, too. Then he meets Vic. And Vic is kind of like, they didn't perfectly do it and they didn't perfectly set up, but Vic is kind of the audience, right? He is the most straight man of the group. He's the kind of he's the character that everybody kind of latches onto. He is the POV. He's the point of view for the audience. And this entire ride, Vic is with Penguin. And even though Penguin's doing all these awful things, he literally betrays every person in that, like, every room he goes in, he will personally betray every single person he is making deals with. He constantly goes back and forth. He betrays Sophia. He betrays Alberto. He betrays the Maronis. They'll go back to the Falconis. Betray them. Like, he will say whatever. And for those who are really into the politics, not to get into politics, he's very reminiscent of Donald J. Trump. I don't know if that's the point of the show. I don't know. They didn't really, it wasn't like The Boys where it was just very like 1v1. Like, the comparison was very on the nose. No pun intended with the Penguin. On the nose, yeah. It wasn't very obvious, but I seen the signs, right? You're going to say whatever, going to make whatever promise, going to sell it to you. And all the while, I'm going to betray you and then use that. Like, you're going to be my stepping stone as I work my way to the top. And that's kind of what Oz did. This is a narcissist simulation, right? You're Vic. You enter the scenario. Oz is your best friend up until the point where he betrays you, right? And you can watch him do all these things. In your mind, he's like, oh, we're in this together. We're in this together. He's betraying them. Okay, that's fine. We're in this together. We're in this together. We're in this together. And spoilers, if you haven't watched The Penguin, please do, because I'm talking spoilers, and I really need to do a spoiler warning beforehand. But you know what? You guys are grown-ups. You know what you sign up on. You already know we're talking spoilers. The point where Penguin kills Vic is the point where the show established its message. And that is, you can't trust a narcissist, because they will always backstab you. The Penguin is a narcissist. The Penguin is a villain. The Penguin is a fucking monster who will always betray you when the opportunity is fit. And you can argue that he shouldn't have betrayed Vic here. But the point is, there is no logic to it, right? Him and Vic could have went on, and it could have been a great partnership. The Penguin found a way and a reason to kill Vic. He was going to kill him no matter what. He always had plans to kill him. He just kept him on, because he sympathized with Vic. Not empathized, sympathized. It's a difference. And the sympathy was there, right? This guy was disabled. He kind of stutters along. Penguin, he limps, right? His body isn't perfectly aligned. He has a handicap. He sees Vic. He has a handicap. So he's like, you know what? You can I see potential in you, kid. Work with me. And so he, you know, throughout the whole show, up until the point where he kills him. And that's the point where I keep coming back to, where it's like, this is just a narcissist simulation. And it's a really, such a, like, it just hits with me more. And this is where I compare it to Agatha all along. Because Agatha, I thought it was just a better show from an episode to episode standpoint. I think the mystery is really interesting in Agatha. I thought the episodes were a lot more fun. And I thought the writing was really, really well done in that show. I give that show a 4+. But my God, it never reached the peak. In episode 7 of Agatha All Along, if you haven't watched Agatha, I'm not saying you have to. I'm not saying it's a must-watch TV. I don't know. I can't say it is. But if you want to just watch a really fun show and you don't mind that women are the protagonists along with a gay man, like, if you can live with that reality, it's a really good show. It's a fun time. It really is. I'm not just saying that. Like, it's not good because of those things. It's good because it's just a well-written show. But it doesn't have that lasting impact that Penguin does, where you're just like, God damn, that was an ending. And I'm not even talking about, like, the back and forth where the Penguin murders the Maronis, and then the reveal where the Penguin killed his own brothers. And I should talk about, like, just what the finale itself, right? He's going against both the Maronis and the Falconis. Sophia and Sal, they team up. Penguin's going against Sal. And eventually the Penguin wins. Sophia, she gets locked in a mental asylum. His mother straight out disowns him, tells him that she knows about the brothers, and that she tried to have him killed but couldn't follow through with it. And so she had to live with the devil for many, many years. And it got so extreme, and she got so mad because Oz just could not admit the bad things that he's done, to the point where she had a stroke and he just carries on. Here's the thing. That's how narcissism works. And I really love that the show just lent in on that. And it's very, to me, it's just realistic, because I've been with a narcissist, right? And it's very like, we have narcissists leading this country. So I just really like that they lent on the mental health aspect, that he is a narcissist. These are what narcissists do. He is a villain. He is a villain worthy to be fought by Batman. And so this whole show does not mention Batman the whole time. And I think it's they did that purposefully. I think they didn't mention Batman until the very end to kind of like hit like, hey, he is now worthy of Batman's attention. He is now the monster in the sky, in the roofs up on top. And also the tease of the Penguin is eyeing a mayor or eyeing a bigger roles. Because he is. Just like all narcissists do. All right, enough is never enough. They always want more. They always want to achieve more. And they'll tear whoever down to get there. But yeah. The one criticism I do have about the Penguin. And my rating for the show. Let's get into my ratings. I'm having a hard time because I think it's a 4. At least a 4. Part of me wants to say a 5 minus or a 5 because of its ending. I don't know if I can. It's kind of like a better Loki. Like Loki, I think I end up giving like a 4 minus or a 4 because the ending was so well done. Like season 2 was that way. This show's a way better written show than Loki ever was. So I think 4 plus. I'm going to say it's a 4 plus. Just the same with Agatha. But I do think Agatha, week to week, was a lot better show. I just think Penguin, the message at the end hits so well that I'm having a hard time. Because I'm like, Agatha's better, but ooh, Penguin, just that message is strong. MVP, before I get into my one criticism, it's hard not to say Penguin. I think Colin Farrell did a very good job. The only other one I would say, Vic. I really like Vic's character. I think Vic just, he was the straight man. He's the one who we cared about, which made his death all brutal. You know what? It's Penguin and Vic. I don't think I can say it's either or. Cause like, I don't think you can tell the story without Vic. I don't think the story is as good without Vic. But obviously it's the Penguin. And the Penguin, I think Colin Farrell had the best performance. I'm going to say it's Vic. Vic is the MVP. He made the show. He really did. His sacrifice was well noted. All right, criticism. One criticism that I have of the Penguin. And it's actually a reason why I really like the Penguin, or the ending of the Penguin, which is Batman didn't really show up. And I'm okay with Batman not being in the show. Like, physically, Batman's not in the show. I don't mind that, and I think it was necessary. I don't think if Batman showed up, I think it would have ruined a lot. But I think the part where it took me out of disbelief is Sophia had a whole bomb. Like, she bombed his whole operation. There was a whole city block of Gotham that was blown up because of Sophia. Because of her actions, because of Oz's action. And he got up, Oz literally got up from that and walked away without any repercussion of the Batman. And I know there's a lot going on in the story, and I know we can definitely write a reason why the Batman's not there, but I just like, I don't know how he doesn't show up after that, at least somewhere. And I also don't know how the Batman's not mentioned. This would be different if this was a villain that didn't show up in Batman, the Batman. But Colin Farrell's Batman, like, Keith was there. Like, Penguin was in that movie. He was a big moving piece in that movie. So how do you tell a story and not mention the Batman, who was, this is a spinoff from the Batman, and you don't mention Batman at all through any of this? And I, like I said, I don't think you can tell the story while having Batman being a main player. I don't think that works. That's not what I'm asking for. What I'm asking for is, how is there not a reference to Batman? How isn't people's motivation not, like, in some way, shape, or form, not altered by Batman? That's the whole point of Batman. The whole first monologue of Batman's monologue in The Batman is how his actions causes fear into villains. Puts fear into gangs, makes people reconsider their actions or at least be nervous. And I think that theme of the first Batman, I'm like, I don't know how you don't put it into this show. Because this show doesn't feel like it belongs to the Batman. It doesn't almost. Because the Penguin's kind of cartoony in the middle. Very cartoony with, like, the gang war and the amount of violence. It's a lot of cartoony-ish violence. Maybe not cartoony, but comic booky, right? So I'm just, that's where it kind of throws me off. And that's where I'm like, I don't, it kind of ruined the middle of the show for me. So I'm like, where's Batman? And I, again, I do really like the ending where the Batman finally shows up. And I do like the messaging, like, hey, he's worthy to fight Batman. Like, he is a worthy villain. I like that. I like that symbolism. But I think we could have had a better version of that if the Batman was just, like, at least a part of the lore somewhere. Someone mentioned, like, hey, we're going to do things during the day so Batman doesn't show up, right? Or, hey, be on the lookout, looking for the roofs because Batman might show up. And then just have it where he just doesn't show up for whatever reasons. He's dealing with something else. Maybe the Joker's on the loose or something like that. But this idea that no one talks about the Batman, it bothered me. So I'm like, I don't know how. I can't watch the first movie with the first monologue being how the villains of Gotham or the bad guys of Gotham or the, you know, the people that Batman fight, how they talk about, you know, being scared of the shadows and how it's just not a play in the Penguin. You know, a show about villains. To me, it just seems to be a huge mismatch, and it takes me out of the show. And I know I'm not the only one. That being said, the ending might have been the reason why most people forgive that. So, but it's been gone. I don't know if I have much more to say about the Penguin. It's a really good show. Some are saying it's DC's best live action show. It might be, honestly. I'm trying to think, like, Smallville, is Penguin better or Smallville? Penguin has a bigger, obviously, I think it's a lot better written. Green Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow. It's hard to say that this is a better show. It's a quite different show. Those shows are more fun. They're more week to week. They're more like the characters and, like, mysteries over a course of time kind of come out. Like, I could argue that those shows had better moments or, like, more moments that I enjoy more. Like, I have a better memory, but it's hard to say that it's a better show. Doomsday is, like, the other, or not Doomsday, Doom Patrol, I think, is the other one that I'm like, ooh, Doom Patrol's pretty good. But honestly, Penguin might be the best DC show. I am blanking. I have to look it up. I want to look it up for next week. Penguin, is it the best live-action show? It might be. Some are saying it's the best live action of the year. I don't know if it's better than Agatha. I enjoyed Agatha a lot more. I can't even say Agatha's the best. I have Fallout up there. Fallout's a really good show. The Boys season 4. House of Dragons season 2. I shouldn't bring up Acolyte. Definitely not. Acolyte and Agatha is definitely a comparison. And Agatha beats it so much. So much. So much better. No, Penguin's good. I might be less on the hype train than everybody else for Penguin. I don't think it might be the best DC live action show of all time. I don't know if it's best TV show this year. I think it lost me in the middle. But the message at the end is really, really good. And I really, really like Penguin. If you listen to all this and you haven't watched Penguin yet, I'm sorry I ruined this for you. But yeah, let me know on my media pages, Threads, Facebook. I'm going to try out Blue Sky. Don't involve me on there. I don't know much about it. I haven't really looked. I don't really do Twitter. Let me know in the comments. Or let me know, Penguin, did you enjoy it? Is this a really good show? When I saw a 5, I was scared. But man, I don't know where that 5 came from. Because this show is near a Don't Involve Me 5, which is elite. I think I'm giving it a 4+. It might be higher. I think people are going to think it's crazy. I don't know. I'm curious what Donald thinks. I'm curious what Brandon thinks. They haven't finished it. They're one of those two who are supposed to be reviewing it with me, which is why we're a little bit late. That and just dealing with some personal issues. So, but yeah, let me know how you guys think of the Penguin. I am out. Thank you for watching. Sorry. Thank you for listening.